Well, there are two stories I came across I wanted to share with you. First, there was an old businessman near death, and he called for his brother to come to his side. "Please see that I am cremated," he told his brother. "What should I do with your ashes?" his brother asked. "I would like you to put them in an envelope and send them to the IRS with a note that says, 'Here, now you have everything.'" And the other one that I thought was pretty good, especially for the resurrection, the boss asked his youngest employee, "Son, do you believe in life after death?" "Yes, sir," the boy replied. "Well, good," said the boss with a scowl, "because just after you left early yesterday to go to your grandmother's funeral, she stopped in to see you." So we believe in life after death. We believe that today's day, which we celebrate Easter, is the greatest event in human history. So a very happy Easter to all of you. Today is a day we celebrate with great joy the fact that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead on Easter morning. Yes, he died for our sins on Good Friday, but that was not the end of the story. As Paul Harvey says, there's the rest of the story, and that is the resurrection. When Jesus Christ rose glorious and triumphant on Easter morn, it was his greatest miracle. It was the proof of his divinity. He had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And St. Paul says, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain and we are still in our sins. So today's feast day is the most important event in all of human history. The fact that our Lord and Savior conquered both sin and death by rising from the dead on Easter morning. It is certainly a historical fact that the tomb was empty on Easter morning. Nobody doubts that. Everybody acknowledges the empty tomb. Now, there's only two ways that the tomb could have become empty. Either Jesus rose from the dead or somebody stole his body. Those are the only two possibilities. And of course, if we looked at logically, well, who could have stolen his body? Two possibilities, either his enemies or his friends. Well, look at it logically. If the enemies had stolen the body of Christ, as soon as the apostles began to preach that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, what would they have done? They would have produced the body. They would have carried the body of Jesus through the streets of Jerusalem and said, "He's not risen from the dead. Here he is, his corpse. We have his dead body." They did not do that. Why? Because he was raised from the dead. Now, of course, look at the other option. Well, maybe his friends stole his body. Let's look at how likely that would have been. They were scared to death. They did not even show up at the foot of the cross. Only one. John was the only one that was at the foot of the cross. All the other ones were in hiding. And even after a few days, they had locked themselves in the upper room. They were so scared. They were so much afraid. And remember, Pontius Pilate had put a guard at the tomb, 6 Roman soldiers. If any of them disobeyed orders or fell asleep, automatic death penalty. They put the Roman seal across the tomb. Anybody that broke that seal or disturbed it, automatic death penalty. How likely is it that these timid, scared fishermen would have tried to get to the body, roll away the stone, stolen the body of Jesus, which would be a mortal sin, to steal his body, and then commit another mortal sin of lying about it and saying that he has risen from the dead? How unlikely is that? Especially since it was a guarded, sealed tomb. Now, what did the apostles get for preaching the resurrection? They got tortured, they got imprisoned, and they were killed for their belief in the resurrection. See, it's hard enough to die for the truth. How hard is it to die for a lie? Imagine if they knew that Jesus was not raised from the dead. Would each of those apostles have gone to their death for the very belief in the resurrection. St. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. St. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. St. Thomas was pierced to death by a sword. Other apostles were beheaded. Each of the apostles was transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And each one was willing to give their life for the truth of the resurrection. So that's why we believe in the resurrection, because sacred scripture gives us eyewitness accounts of the apostles that saw the risen Lord. Even Thomas got to put his hands into the risen, glorified body. And he said, "My Lord and my God." The only way to account for the total transformation of the apostles is the fact that they had seen the risen Lord after he had been raised from the dead. They spent 40 days with him. They ate with him. They talked with him. He explained the scriptures to them. And that's transformed them from being scared fishermen in the upper room to being apostles that would travel to all the ends of the earth. St. James went to Spain. St. Thomas went to India. And they all spread the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead. So this is why we believe in the resurrection, because of the witness of the apostles and the early church. And the resurrection of Christ is the only way to explain the conversion of St. Paul. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to arrest the Christians, to imprison them, and to kill them for believing in Christ. But something happened to Paul on the way to Damascus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the risen, resurrected Lord, appeared to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he was converted by Christ and then got baptized by Ananias. And Paul then became the greatest apostle in the history of the church. From being the greatest persecutor to being the greatest apostle and one of the greatest saints. The only way to explain that is that he saw the risen Jesus Christ. His Lord and Savior converted him on the road. So these are the reasons why we believe in the resurrection. And I think in this day and age, a very highly scientific age, really, in my opinion, one of the greatest things that we can do to increase our love of Jesus and our belief in the resurrection is to study the Holy Shroud of Turin. The Holy Shroud of Turin is kept over in Turin, Italy. In fact, it's going to be on display for the next couple months, a very rare occasion. But the Holy Shroud has been passed down for over 2,000 years. There is so much scientific evidence in support of the shroud. It's 14 feet long. It's 3.5 feet wide. And it describes all the sufferings of Jesus. If you want to really meditate upon the passion of Christ, look at the Holy Shroud. It shows all the scourge marks of how Jesus was whipped over the front and over his back. It shows the crown of thorns, how they pierced his skull. It shows the nails that went through the Lord's wrist at the crucifixion. It shows the nail that went through his feet, one foot over the other, one nail driven through both feet. It shows the pierced side where the soldier thrust his lance through the side of Christ. The Holy Shroud describes all of these sufferings of Christ. When we meditate upon the Passion, we see how much God loves us, that God sent his only Son into the world to die for us and to suffer such a horrible death for you and for me. But in my opinion, the shroud also shows the resurrection, because one of the main things the scientists cannot figure out is how the image was produced on the shroud. It's not painted. It was produced by a burst of light, heat, power, radiation, whatever it was, a flash of energy that came from the body of the person that was inside the shroud. That's how the image was burned or flashed or scorched onto the shroud in a split millisecond. And isn't that amazing that it ties in so beautifully with what we believe in the resurrection? When Jesus's soul was infused back into his body and when he rose from the dead, it let off such a bright flash of power, or whatever it be, some sort of a nuclear energy or a burst of light, heat, radiation, that in a flash scorched this image of Jesus onto the shroud. And I think, in my opinion, the best reason, the best explanation, is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So I'd encourage you, study the Holy Shroud of Turin. It'll help your spiritual life so much, because you'll see the sufferings of how much Jesus loves you. And also, I believe it captures the very moment of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior from the dead. So as we celebrate this Mass today, we honor the Lord's resurrection. And we know that how we get connected to Christ, how we experience the graces of the resurrection, is through the sacraments, by getting baptized and having our sins forgiven, dying to sin and rising with Christ in new life of baptism, by going to confession, by confessing our sins and having them buried in Christ and then forgiven by the blood of Christ that washes over us in the Holy Sacrament of Confession, by receiving the Eucharist, by receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our risen Lord and Savior under the appearances of bread and wine. That is the risen Lord that we receive in Holy Communion. That's why we go to Mass each and every Sunday, not just once or twice a year, but we give the Lord that 1 hour a week, every Sunday, in which to worship Him, adore Him, praise Him, and to receive Him in the Holy Eucharist. Study your faith, read your Bible, read the Catechism, read your Bible every day for at least 5 or 10 minutes, and go through RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. Last night we had 7 adults baptized, and about 20 of them were brought into the church through the sacrament of confirmation. See, this is how the risen power of the resurrected Christ touches our lives, is through His church and through the Holy Sacrament.